Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
We're going to continue our study of Acts this morning, but it's going to look a lot different. Most of you, after Mike's message last week and him talking about a little bit about waiting, and because the Holy Spirit is about to come, is about to fall on those 120 people in that upper room that we've been looking at in the first chapter of Acts. It might kind of set us up for that, but this morning you're going to have to wait, because we're not going to continue in that, but yet we're going to talk about what it looks like to wait, because that's what those 120 people are doing right now, is they're sitting in that room waiting to receive what Jesus said was coming, the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower them to go and accomplish what Jesus told them they were going to do, and that's make witnesses. They can't do it by themselves. They can't do it under their own power. Back in 2005, a good friend of mine who was going through a lot of stuff looked at me and said, "I hate waiting. I'm praying, I'm seeking God, but I hate waiting. I need to know now. I need to know the direction. I need to know the answer." Well, just 2 weeks ago in the office, one of our staff members, who will go unmentioned at this time, said, "I hate waiting." It doesn't change. The idea of waiting is something that all of us as believers have to do if we're walking in a committed, trustful relationship in Jesus Christ. We're given opportunities to wait on Him. Back in 2005, after my friend said that to me, I said, "Well, what does it look like to wait on the Lord?" So I wrote a book about it called "Are We There Yet?" Because that's our answer, isn't it? Are we there yet? Is my answer here? Do I know what to do now? And so what you're going to hear this week and next week is what God showed me 20 years ago on how to wait for Him. Ways that we can wait. Not just say, "Well, you got to wait on the Lord." No, I'm going to show you, mainly from the life of David, how he waited. Because there were some very practical things that he did, and they were different. They were unique to the circumstance. So I hope this morning as you listen, you think about your circumstances. What are you waiting on God for right now? What is that? Because they're all unique in a crowd this large. If you're seeking God about something, you're waiting on Him. Chances are you haven't heard your answer yet, or maybe bits and pieces of it. So we're gonna pretend we're just like those people in the upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. And we need to be encouraged and we need to be challenged in our waiting. See, this all started back in John when Jesus said to the 12, He said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send," future, okay? You've got to wait on it. "The Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you." That sounds great, but they had to wait. They still had Jesus. It was okay. Jesus is walking with them. They don't have to have the Helper. They had Jesus. Then we get into where we've been in the first chapter of Acts, and Jesus says, gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, back to what He told them in John, which He said, "You had heard of from me. I've already told you what you're going to receive." They didn't understand it, but they knew it was coming. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they began asking Him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel?" That's what we're waiting for, right? The Romans are going to be defeated, and you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel, right? That's coming. "But He said to them, it's not for you to know periods of time or appointed times." You got to wait. You don't need to know that right now. which the Father has set by his own authority. God's going to let you know. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. So that's what's going to happen. He tells them that. He tells us that. When we're under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to take the gospel not only to Lubbock, Texas, but the state of Texas, United States, and the uttermost parts of the world when we're under the power of the Holy Spirit. But they had to wait. We have an advantage on them. We've already received the Holy Spirit. He indwells us who are followers of Jesus Christ. But they had to wait. Waiting on the Lord is a concept that is communicated to followers of God over 50 times in Scripture, and most often it's translated as anticipating what you've been told, trusting what's been told, hoping in what's been told or promised. Due to our lack of being willing to wait, to anticipate, to trust, or hope in God, we often accept second best in our lives. We don't want to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit and the timing of God using the Holy Spirit to give us the power we need. We begin acting in our own flesh. Well, I'm going to make this happen. You know, y'all have heard my story about getting to Lubbock, Texas. God put it on my heart in 2001. You're going to go to Lubbock. I went home, told Mina, we're going to move to Lubbock. She said, you can, I'm not. I had to wait. It wasn't that God didn't say that. I had to wait. It wasn't until 2007 that we came to Lubbock. It was clear what God had said, but there was a waiting period. Waiting, by definition, takes time. Waiting takes time. Waiting takes T-I-M-E, time. See, that we've got to be willing to take that time. Sometimes it's shorter than others. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it's years. Sometimes it's multiple years that we have to wait on what we've been seeking God about. But we have to wait. Abraham had to wait. God told him he was going to lead a great nation. I don't have any children. He had to wait till his old age to receive that child that would carry on his name. Moses had to wait. Moses knew what he was created to do, to lead the people of Israel. He had to go away for 40 years before he came back to actually accomplish what God told him to do. David had to wait. He was told he was going to be king because of his own circumstances, his own choices, and taking things into his own hands. He had to wait to do that. Mary and Martha had to wait. And they were ticked at Jesus in their waiting. They wanted Jesus to come heal their brother. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to be in a hurry. I want you to wait and trust in me. Jesus had to wait 30 years to step into his ministry that God had called him to do and created him for, sent him to do in our lives. He had to wait. Paul had to wait after his encounter on the Damascus Road with Jesus. He has to go away for 3 years before he actually starts what we get to read about in all the letters. He had to wait. So our waiting isn't any different in many ways than the waiting of the patriarchs of the Bible, those we read about. So we're going to look at most of the ways I'm going to show you that we can wait, that I've experienced in my own life, that we can wait. It's from David. So we're going to look at that. How did David wait? And take those to answer the question, how should we wait? Or how can we wait? First one is to wait expectantly. This one's not from David's writings in the Psalms. This is from Isaiah. It said, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." So what's the benefit of waiting expectantly? Expecting God to do something in your life when you're asking Him to, when you're seeking Him, when He's told you that this is going to happen. We gain new strength. That's what that verse tells us. Because often in the waiting, as that verse says, we get tired. We get weary. We get to the point where we want to give up in our waiting on God to meet the need. But He says when we do that, we gain new strength. We soar. And when we start heading toward that answer and we're running, we don't get tired. And if we have to slow down and we have to walk, we're not going to get weary. Because we have new strength. You know, back in the day, I was a marathon runner. And when you would get in that process, in those first 6 miles of the race, you're feeling good. That next section of the race, up to halfway point, you're still feeling okay, but you're starting to get tired. Your legs are getting heavy. You're getting weary. And that third section of a marathon is you're going, "Why am I doing this? This is crazy." But when you get to mile 20 of the 26.2, you're going, "You know, I've run a lot of 10Ks before. I've done that. I can do this. I can pull on that strength of training, that new strength that I've been working on for 4 months to get ready to do." And the closer you get, you pick up the speed. Even though you've been running for 4 hours. But you gain that new strength and you feel it. Second way we can wait is continuously. Yeah, we can expect God to do something. He said He was going to. He's going to take care of us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. But we can wait continuously also. This is from Psalms 25:5. It says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Thee I wait all day, all month, all year, all decade, all my life." You wait continuously. If your trust is in God, if you're a follower of His, waiting is a concept, is a truth of Scripture that we all get the opportunity to do, and we can achieve it by persevering in it, waiting continuously. We're about to get to Acts 2. These things were said about those people in Acts 2 that are going to receive the Holy Spirit. When they create and are part of the beginning of the church, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. That word is koinonia. It's a connection of the Holy Spirit, just like we as believers have. We need other people. We need that connection with other believers, relationships with them. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, of doing life together. Literally, it says having meals together. They devoted themselves to prayer, which we're going to talk about more next week. But the word devoted there, see, that's continuously. I'm devoted to it. I'm going to do it. I'm not giving up. I'm devoted to these things. And we're going to see that happen once they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. They can wait in a circumstance of devotion, knowing God is going to do what God said He was going to do. Wait righteously is the third one. Psalms 25, 21. "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee." Doing the right thing. You know, as we read scriptures, we study scriptures, we know what Jesus said. So we know what Paul said. And all the other writers of scripture that has become our standard as followers of Christ. Keep doing those things while you're waiting. See, waiting isn't just sitting. Saying, okay, God, you said you were going to do this. No, you continue to act righteously while you wait. You make the right choices. You make decisions that honor God while you're waiting. Having integrity or not having integrity is based upon a lifestyle consistent with choices that either honor or dishonor our relationship with God. See, that's up to us. We have that free will of making choices. In the midst of our waiting, we're asking God, we're seeking God. We're hopeful of what God's going to do in our lives. You continue to do the right thing. Continuously, expectantly doing the right thing. Sometimes you may have to wait alone. That's hard. You know, I said a while ago, that 120, when you're doing something with 120 people all doing the same thing, okay, I can do it because they're doing it. But sometimes you're put in a position where you're all by yourself in your seeking of God. Maybe you haven't told anybody else. Maybe they don't know. Maybe you're in a new place. Maybe even those people who love you and care for you think you're waiting wrongly. Just take care of that. Just do that. You don't need to wait on God. You're in control. Do it. Sometimes you got to wait alone. Expectantly, righteously, continuously. Number four, wait courageously. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalms 27:14. You know, Joshua, this character I'm going to be talking about just a little bit as we move forward. Joshua 1, this is what was said to Joshua about his role. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. That's what God's telling him. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now, Moses was dead. Moses had led the people of Israel to the promised land. Moses is dead. Joshua is in charge now. Joshua would lead the people into the promised land. Joshua would have to believe the truth of previously unproven instruction. He knows what the instruction is, but they haven't done it yet. Joshua would encounter resistance by the inhabitants of the new land. There were giants over there. Yeah, it's full of milk and honey. And he and Caleb were the only ones that said, yes, God's going to do what God said he would do. He's going to give us this land. He's been telling them that for generations. It's yours. Joshua had to give possession of the promised land to the people who didn't believe they could take it. They questioned what God would do, but yet Joshua, the words given to Joshua, stay strong and courageous, even though they don't believe you. Joshua must remember and obey the instruction of his mentor, Moses. Sometimes we have to do that. What did Jesus tell the apostles? I'm going to send you a helper. Why? To help you remember what I've told you. Joshua would have to saturate and activate God's word. What has God already told him? I'm going to saturate you with, this is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. And so when we keep hearing that, are we going to believe what God said? Are we going to believe our circumstances dictate our choices? Joshua should not be afraid of the road he's to travel. See, sometimes we're put in a position of leadership maybe we didn't ask for, of influence, of impact, of investment that we didn't even ask for. But here we are. So it takes courage as we wait to see how that's going to play out, how God's going to use us in that. Nelson Mandela said this, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." Joshua was afraid. The apostles sitting in that room waiting on the Holy Spirit, waiting on the helper, were afraid. Now they were obedient. They were doing what Jesus told them to do, but they were afraid. But see, we can overcome fear with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because our flesh is weak. Our flesh is fearful. The Holy Spirit can overcome all that. So what they're waiting for is going to be well worth it. Fear of the unknown often keeps us from accomplishing what God has either prompted or instructed us to do. For a lot of us, we stop right there. I know what God said. But fear takes over and we go, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. That's too hard. But they waited in their fear, in their unknown. They waited. Wait patiently. One of our favorite words, right? Being patient. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, from Psalms 37. And then again, Psalms 41, a few chapters later in our Psalms, says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Rest in your waiting. Okay? Be confident. Be at peace in your waiting on the Lord for whatever you're seeking, whatever you thought of a while ago when I prompted you that you're waiting on the Lord for right now. Rest in it. God is faithful. Many people rationalize it to be easier to act and to take the risk of doing the wrong thing than to be patient and make the right choice. Being able to wait patiently communicates a quiet confidence in being secure with the Lord's timing. See, in our waiting, that's what we have to come to. When they walked up those steps to that upper room and Jesus had told them to wait, they had to be confident and secure in what Jesus told them to do. Psalms 37, here's your assignment for the week, okay? Tests will be on your chairs when you get here next week and they'll be turned in after the service next week. Psalms 37 is what I would call the waiting psalm, because there's so many elements of that, and your assignment is to go home this week and spend some time in there. Meditate on it. Psalm 37, these verses are all there. Trust in the Lord and do good. Haven't we talked about doing the right thing? We've talked about trusting in God in your waiting. Psalms 37, 3b, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. You've been placed here for now. Dwell here. Be faithful in your waiting right where God's placed you. Cultivate that faithfulness in waiting on him. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We quote that verse all the time. We love the second part. We don't always delight ourselves in the Lord. But in your waiting, delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, this is what you've done for me in the past. See, that was one thing I learned in writing that book and just sitting in what it looks like to wait. Is that, God, you've done so many things in my life. Why shouldn't I be able to wait on you in future things? Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And then the answer to that verse, we see it as three chapters later in our Bibles. I don't know the order when it was written, but it was obviously written after Psalm 37. Because what does David say? I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. Here's what I want you to see about that 41 verse. David cried out and then waited on the Lord. There are some things we need to cry out to the Lord about. They're hard. We don't want to walk that path. We don't want to have to wait. We cry out. It's okay. David did that. He cried out and then he waited. You may even need to cry out in the midst of your waiting. As you're waiting, as you're expecting, as you're doing the right thing. And the last one is to wait hopefully. We're going to do 6 today and we'll do 6 more next week. You couldn't have handled 12 today. Too much waiting. Plus, I'm making you wait on the Holy Spirit to get here. So, you know, wait hopefully. Still from Psalm 37. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Okay? You're going to get what God promised. What he said he would do. When you wait, hopefully. And hopefully, when we read that in Scripture, is not a term that I wish it would happen. It's a sure thing. My hope is in that. About what God said. Joshua waited hopefully. Okay, God, Moses is dead. You've given me the leadership. I'm believing you. I'm hoping in what you've told me. Mary waited hopefully. How would you like to be a teenage girl and said, okay, you're going to carry the Messiah? God, I'm not even married. This can't go well. But the angel told her this is what was going to happen. She waited hopefully that that's exactly what would happen. The apostles waited hopefully. Jesus was gone. He was no longer physically in their life. They couldn't talk to him anymore. There was that gap of time that they're sitting in that room waiting for the Holy Spirit to empower them. They had to wait. See, our hope does not depend on our circumstances. Can't, because our circumstances will always prompt us to act from our flesh, from our mind, what we can accomplish, what we can do. But waiting hopefully says, I'm going to wait on what God can do. A modern day story of waiting hopefully. We're going to close with this. My good friend Micah lost her husband 2.5 years ago. She's now got a house, property that she's got to take care of. She prayed and asked God, God, I don't know when I need to sell this property or get rid of it or what to do with it, but I'm going to ask you very specifically, God, to have somebody come to my front door. I'm not going to put a sign in the yard. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm not going to take it in my own hands. I'm going to trust you with it, God. And for 2.5 years, she's prayed that. Month ago-ish, She's at a meeting. Crosses paths with a friend of hers at a meeting. And the friend says, you know, I've been looking, my husband and I have been looking for a house over around Santa Fe Drive is. You know where that is? She goes, well, that's where I live. She goes, well, we're looking at a house down the corner. I know where that house is. Well, we're not real excited about that house, but my husband really wants to live there in that area. Holy Spirit, speaking to Micah, well, I could offer my house. This isn't exactly coming and knocking on my door, but it's pretty clear. This couple's looking for a house. Micah initiates. She says, would you like to come look at my house? They come and look at the house multiple times. Micah's got to have a place to live. This family's getting more excited about buying her house. What am I going to do? Well, there just happens to be another family who've been praying to sell their house for the right person to buy their house. So we've got one family praying to look for a house, one lady praying, God, I'm not going to initiate this. You're going to have to do it. My hope's in you to take care of when and how all this is going to happen. Another family needs to sell their house. That's waiting, hopefully. God, I'm going to let you do it. My hope is in you. But see, now, three families who had their hope in God were all answered. God did it. So, how do you need to wait today? Maybe all six of them. Maybe there's just one very specifically that you need to wait in or use or access. Waiting expectantly, waiting continuously, righteously, courageously, patiently, and hopefully. Next week, we're going to look at six more, and they're just as powerful. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to share about waiting. Because if there's anything as a pastor, as dealing with people on a regular basis, that I hear almost weekly is that we don't like waiting. Waiting's hard. It's a hard lesson. And as we've looked at today, we know why. It is hard. Because we're not in control. And I just pray that as we continue to look at ways that we can wait on you, God, that you can encourage us and challenge us and to trust you with the answers, whatever our circumstances are. God, we look forward to waiting and receiving your best in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.